I want to take you back where we started from a couple weeks ago. We read a portion of Scripture together, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. I want us to do that again this morning. Let's read that passage together, shall we? There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. A few weeks ago, I preached a message entitled One Body. Last week, One Spirit. Today, we're going to talk about One Hope. And next week, One Faith. The passage continues, but time doesn't, so that will end the series. But this morning, I'm going to talk to you about what it means for the body of Christ to have a single hope, to have one hope. I want to talk to you about Christian hope this morning. And just as a starting point, I'm using the text from 1 Peter 3:15, which is a very important one. If this isn't underlined in your Bible, take your pencil and underline it, because it's an important verse for you to remember. It says, "In your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared. Like a Boy Scout, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. I want to start this morning just by letting you listen in on a conversation between two fellows, Mr. Opp and Mr. Pesci. This now was recorded from a satellite high up in space, and so the quality of the recording may not be perfect. But we're going to eavesdrop on their little conversation as they met on the road one day. Can we hear that?
Good morning, Mr. Pesci.
Oh, yeah, I don't see much good about it.
Well, at least the sun is shining.
Yeah. Well, I'll probably get sunburned at best or die of heat stroke.
Well, you know, they say it will rain tomorrow. That's something to look forward to.
Oh, sure, Mr. Opp. I always look forward to seeing my livestock drowned and my house washed away in a flood.
Well, Mr. Pesci, a little rain doesn't mean anybody's house will be washed away.
Well, it could. Did you ever hear about the great Mississippi flood of 1927? It killed people in 7 states, and it all started with a little rain.
My friend, you really have a special way of looking on the bright side of everything.
Just being realistic, my friend. Just being realistic.
All right, there's two guys. You can kind of learn a little something about their character just by listening to that conversation. Which of those two characters, Mr. Opp or Mr. Pesci, seemed the most hopeful to you? Mr. Opp, yeah, I would agree with that, Mr. Opp. In fact, their names, Opp and Pesci, come from the words optimist and pessimist. Two ways of looking at life. Two ways of looking at the same day, right? Now, let me ask you this question. Which of those two do you think seems more likely to know Christ? I would think Mr. Opp. How many of you vote for Mr. Opp? Yeah. How many vote for Mr. Pesci? Yeah, he seems like a little sour, doesn't he? By the way, I had to do that on tape because I can't do Mr. Pesci's voice for longest. I can't talk afterward. Anyway, Christians tend to be more hopeful because they know some things that non-Christians don't know. For example, God works all things together for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose, Romans 8:28. Or maybe, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, Psalm 46. Or maybe, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, Jeremiah 29:11. Plans to give you hope. Isn't it good to know that God plans to give you hope? And that's the title of our sermon, right? One Hope. Christians ought to have hope In fact, they ought to be hopeful. They ought to be full of hope. There's one place in Romans where Paul writes that we should be so full of hope that we overflow with hope. In other words, we kind of spread it around. That's the way it ought to be. Like Mr. Opp. Well, what is hope? I'll give you a definition. Hope is looking toward the future with a positive expectation. I preached to you about anxiety, about worry one time, and that's the opposite, isn't it? That's looking to the future with a negative expectation. Hope is looking forward to the things that are coming in your life with a positive expectation. The rain will water the garden, help your grass stay green. It's not coming to wash your house away or drown your livestock. In fact, we could define Christian hope as godly optimism. See, unlike Mr. Pesci, the Christian trusts and depends on God to secure his future. Our series is about the bride of Christ. Well, just for the sake of just an illustration, consider a young woman who's engaged and looking forward to her wedding day. Even though she's not married, she looks forward to her marriage with a positive anticipation, with hope for the future. We should all have that attitude every day as the bride of Christ, because we are engaged, but not yet married. Because God is good and faithful and able, because he has made a way for us and called us personally and individually to be his own people, because Christ has paid our debt, saved us, and given us his Spirit as a guarantee, we can be certain that he has prepared a place for us in heaven, and he'll come at just the right time to take us home. We don't have to wonder about that. We can know that for certain. Because our hope is in God, we can live today without fear or anxiety or doubt. We can live today, even though our hope is anchored in the future, we can live today without anxiety and without fear and without doubt. But you know, you can take that coin and you can turn it around and look at the other side, because there's another side to that coin. That's from the Christian perspective. That's the way it is for Christians. We have a hope. And it is securely tied to the Word of God and the promises of God and the power of God and the plan of God for our lives. But there are people who don't have that hope. They live without hope. I thought, you know, the most devastating words you could hear in a time of illness or a time of crisis is, it's hopeless. Living without hope is a very, very, very difficult thing. Here's the sad truth. Non-Christians live either having no hope of anything good occurring in their lives, or at best, getting into their grave without having to deal with too much trouble or pain. That's the best they can hope for. And that's not much hope, is it? Others cling to false hope based on lies or false gods or maybe technology or maybe just wishing. Listen, any hope that doesn't include the true and living God is a false and groundless hope. Our hope comes from God. Dante wrote a book called The Inferno. Some of you may have read all of it or parts of it, but it describes hell. Matter of fact, it's kind of interesting that most Christians, what they think about hell, most of that comes from Dante's Inferno, not from the Bible. The Bible doesn't really tell us a whole lot about hell. But Dante wrote quite an imaginative book. But one of the things that is interesting about it to me is that the entrance to hell, the gateway into hell, has a sign over the top. And the sign says, "Abandon all hope, ye who enter here." You see, that's a place of utter and absolute hopelessness. That's what hopelessness is. It's living as if you were already there with no hope. You see, but that's not the Christian position. That's not where we are in Christ, is it? As the body of Christ, as the bride of Christ, we have hope. The Christian's hope is unique. People can put their hopes in all kinds of things that are groundless, but the Christian's hope is unique because it's not founded on earthly conditions or situations. It's founded on the promise and the character of God. I want you to remember that. The Christian's hope is founded, grounded, based on the promise and the character of God. In Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews wrote this word of encouragement. It says, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of His purpose, in other words, what God was going to do, He wanted to make it very clear to the heirs of what was promised. He confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. And then He says, we have this hope as an anchor. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. You see, we're not just drifting along, being driven along by fate or happenstance or anything like that. We are being led by the Spirit of God. And that's what gives us hope. He has a purpose for us. There is a direction to our life. And that hope gives us an anchor. He talks about two things in that passage, two unchangeable things. First of all, God said, this is what I plan to do. And then He said, I'll do it. It's contrary to God's nature and character to fail or to lie. What God tells us He'll do is His true intention. If He says, I've made a way for you, then He's made a way for you. If He says, I will return and take you to be where I am, then that's what He will do. You see, He doesn't lie. And He's not going to fail. He's able to do what He says He will do. That's the basis for our hope. It's not blind acceptance. It's knowing and believing and trusting what's written in God's Word. The place where we stand, the place where our anchor is hooked, is the Word of God, the truth of what God says. Our hope is based on written, confirmed evidence that the Bible is the Word of God and Jesus is the Son of God. It's grounded upon fulfilled prophecies, an eyewitness testimony. It's established upon God's history, His track record of being faithful. You can look back through history and the lives of Christians in the past and you can say, just look for a place where God has been unfaithful and you'll never find it. Romans 15:4 says this, everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. Everything that was written in the past about people's experiences with God was written to teach us. Now here's the purpose. It says, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. We might have hope. Hope is the essential component of Christian thought and character. Hope is necessary for Christians. An authentic Christian simply cannot be hopeless. An authentic Christian cannot be hopeless. I want to show you some things in the Word here. Hebrews 11, everybody knows this passage. Everybody's heard this at some time or other. It says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for. There it is, right there. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We're saved by grace through faith. So faith is essential. We're saved by grace through faith. And we see from that passage that faith is kind of made up of two things. Hope and certainty. So you could say, faith equals hope plus certainty. Just put your little formula down there. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on and he says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we see, without hope, there's no faith. And without faith, we're lost. So hope is an essential component of the Christian's thought, of the Christian's character. And a Christian's hope, when I talk about the Christian hope, it focuses on our future with Christ. Titus chapter 2, it's kind of a long passage, but it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Now, that'd be something to preach on right there. There's a lot right in that right there. But it says, in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The hope that we have is that Christ will return and receive his bride unto himself. And when he does, we will be included in that number. When the saints go marching in, you want to be included in that number. Playing trombone in the band. All right? So, our future is assured. If we put our hope in Jesus, our future is assured, and we are secure in Christ. And that knowledge, that hope, is what enables us to live as we ought to today. The Christian hope is energizing. But it's also purifying. John wrote this. He said, "Dear friends, now we are children of God. We are children of God. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, when Jesus comes back to receive his bride, when he appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is." Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So we have this hope. The hope is based on the Word of God. And the hope is that when the Lord returns, it'll be for us. And we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. Last thing I want to talk about this morning is the fact that the Christian's hope, your hope, is visible evidence of your faith. It's visible evidence of your faith. People can't see your faith, but they can recognize your hope because it colors the way you respond to everything. The passage that I read at the beginning from 1 Peter, you remember what I read? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. Now let me ask you this. Why would anybody ask you about it if they can't see it? People would ask you about it because of the way you live and the way you respond to things in a hopeful way. When they ask you about the hope you have, you need to be prepared to give them a response. And that response needs to be about your faith in Christ. That's what the passage is talking about. People are always looking for a ray of hope, especially in times of trouble. Here's a little poem. "Hope, like a gleaming candle's light, adorns and cheers our way. And still, as darker grows the night, emits a brighter ray." The poet is saying this: the greater the need, the greater the trouble, the brighter hope shines, the more visible it becomes. The more visible your faith becomes. Your testimony, your knowledge of God's Word His promises and His plans. Your experiences with God may be the ray of hope, may provide the ray of hope that someone else needs to see. That's what makes your faith contagious. I want to close with a word from the Psalms. And I'm going to read it to you, and then I'm going to ask you to read it with me. This is a statement from the Psalms. It's from Psalm 33, verse 18, but this is what it says. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. This is the Word of God. This is a prayer of David, but it can be our prayer as well. And so let's say it together. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear Him, on those whose hope is in His unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in You. God, as we come to You, we acknowledge that it's in Christ alone that our hope is found. Lord, there's no hope anywhere else except in Christ Jesus and what He has done for us. He lived for us. He died for us. He ascended to heaven for us that we might be justified and we might have life anew, that we might have hope. Lord, I just pray that You would fill each one of us today with hopefulness, that we would be full of hope, full to overflowing. Lord, I just pray against any hopelessness that anybody might have who's in this room today. Lord. Because in You, hope can be found. There's no reason for us to be hopeless when we know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we can call upon Him in times of trouble. So, Lord, I just pray against that hopelessness, and I pray in each and every heart of every person in this church today, Lord, that You would give them an everlasting, living hope that is based on You and Your power and Your Word. Lord, we want to be known as a people who are faithful and a people who are joyful and a people who are hopeful. So, Lord, fill us with faith. Fill us with joy. Fill us with hope. Lord, we know those things come from You. They don't come from the world, come from things that we can produce ourselves. Lord, they come from You. And so, Lord, our greatest prayer is, Lord, fill us with You. Fill us with Your Spirit. Fill us with Your presence. Fill us with a knowledge of Your Word and Your ways. Fill us with the strength and the power that we need to live out our Christian life, to walk out our calling in You. That's the most important thing we can do. But Lord, let us never move from that solid rock of truth and faith that Your Word provides for us. Fill us with hope. Lord, and I pray that each one who is here right now, that someone would ask them about the faith that they have, about the hope that they have, and that they will be prepared to give an answer. That they will be able to say, my hope is in Jesus. That's why I'm optimistic. That's why I look to the future with a positive expectation, because my hope is in Jesus Christ, who has arisen from the dead and is coming again to receive me unto Himself.
Hallelujah.
Lord, we thank You for the promises and the hope that we have in Your Word. Help us, Lord, to take them as our own. Get them in our hearts, Lord, not just in our minds, but get it into our hearts, Lord, so that we might live out the hope that we have in You. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.